Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And you're with Rev Joy, with Bertie and with Andrew. Hello, Bertie.
Good evening.
You were with us last week. We did talk about you.
And what were you saying? I hope it was all nice.
I can't remember. Probably not, knowing us.
We always say nice things.
But when? You should
know that. All the time. Oh, okay. Especially when you're in the studio.
Big fat liar.
I think Andrew was playing up last week, so we won't talk about that. So, well, we've got a exciting, fun show again.
We've got lots of guests tonight. We've got Craig with us, Craig Foster, and we're going to be talking to him in a minute about his new-ish movie.
And he's flown in just for the occasion.
He has. He's flown down from Sydney. That's how important we are, you know.
We were going to talk to him on the phone. And no, here he turns up in the studio.
In the flesh. And also,
well, no, he's got some clothes on.
No, he has, yes.
V-neck jumper, though.
I didn't say naked in the flesh. And you'll get the joke about V-neck jumpers later on in the show. Stay tuned. And on the phone, we're also talking to Andy Calder from Multifaith and Disability Forum about his latest news. Mr. Poof, how are you tonight? You're very quiet over there.
Yes, well, you know, I'm wearing a V-neck in the studio, so I feel like I have been penalised.
I know. We're going to talk about discrimination against V-necks later on.
Yes. But if you want to join in this conversation, SMS us at 0427-JOY949, or you can phone on 1300-JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au.
Mm, and tell us if you do wear a V-neck, why?
Exactly. Now we're going to start with Our City.
Yes, Embers. This is a track from Our City. It's called Embers.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the Priest, the Palm and the Poof. We're here every Tuesday from 8 till 9. Now we're joined tonight by Craig Foster. And Craig has produced and directed a film called Parrot. Now Parrot is a tale of a family divided by faith. Todd, the youngest son of Ruth and Edmund Sr., has over the years drifted away from his strict Catholic upbringing. Too afraid to break the truth to his mother, he would feel as a complete stranger within his own family were it not for his brother Edmund Jr., who shares the same secret. When a terrible tragedy befalls the family, Todd and his parents are forced to confront their differences at the worst of all possible times. With the truth out, can they find a way to accept, support, and love each other, or will religion fracture this family forever?
Welcome to the studio, Craig.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, Craig, what is the message of The Parrot and who is it aimed at?
The central message, I guess, is tolerance. It's about the importance of family and it's about pluralism. It's in terms of who we're aiming it at, I guess everyone... The objective of the film when I was making it was really to tell a story about an openly atheist character to try and, I guess, create some empathy and kind of make atheist a bit less of a dirty word. It's kind of a, you know, atheists aren't a very liked minority group in the United States and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of create tell a story about the sorts of atheists that we're not seeing in the media. You know, your average Joe kind of atheist, I suppose.
Did you choose to make the kids the atheists to try and target perhaps the younger generation?
Yes, absolutely. It's I think that's a kind of the way it would go as well. That's the believable unfolding of that kind of situation.
Mm. Generationally, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Now, why is the film called Parrot?
my normal response to this question is, why do you think it's called Parrot? It's a metaphor for the repetition of ideas without necessarily an understanding behind it. The children are being asked to take on board certain ideas largely without question, and obviously they are questioning it. At one stage, to support the metaphor in the script, there was actually a parrot, but that actually ended up on the cutting room floor of the script. We never actually...
Not the actual parrot, but just the film of the parrot.
Yeah, well, originally in the script, there was going to be a bird in a particular crucial scene.
And the parrot didn't land up stuffed.
Yeah. That's right. But yeah.
Hmm. Now, how do you pronounce that? Atheism?
Atheism.
Hmm. That's a horrible word. Atheism is a huge topic, and obviously, yes. Especially in the States and certain parts of the States, that's a big deal. Were you raised an atheist? Why? What made you tackle this subject?
I wasn't raised an atheist. I was raised Anglican, although my parents were very supportive when I said I'm an atheist. There wasn't much of a deal there. I think they're like a lot of... I suppose religious folk in Australia, they weren't particularly religious, although they identify as an Anglican. In terms of why I made the film and why I want to tackle the subject of atheism, it's just something that I was really interested in the time. It's the film that I had in me. I was reading a lot of Dawkins and Hitchens, and it was just something that really, really interested me. And I really wanted to tackle it. And I felt that the idea that of just having a character that happened to be atheist and having atheism is more of a premise rather than the point of the film is something that I felt hadn't been done. And so that was the challenge we set out to face.
Atheism is probably in Australia less of an issue than it is in America. You talked about America. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big deal if you're an atheist.
I don't think it's a hugely less of an issue. I think people are certainly less passionate about it. We were at the... Global Atheist Convention, we premiered there, and there was this lady called Leslie Canold who spoke a lot about issues of separation of church and state in Australia, and there's quite a lot of stuff that doesn't get a lot of publicity. So I think it's important, or at least the secular, you know, secularism is quite an important topic which doesn't get a lot of airtime, I suppose. But it's certainly a much bigger, much more polarized issue in the States, and I think people on both sides of the debate in the United States are much more passionate about it, at the very least. We seem to be kind of apathetic to it. You know, the average Australian seems to be a little bit more apathetic about issues of religion and spirituality and atheism.
So what or who inspired you to make this film?
There's no one particular thing. Like I was saying, we sort of set out to the challenge of making an atheist film. But, I mean, other inspirations were just things that were going on in our lives. My wife and I, we wrote it together. We had a couple of deaths in both our families, and so there was a lot of what we went through, a lot of our feelings on the subject of loss and death and tragedy just came through into the script that way, because that's what we'd just been through. There wasn't a particular light bulb moment of, I've got this great idea of this story about this kid that, you know, comes out to his parents as an atheist.
We're not very good at honouring people, are we? I picked this up from the movie that you know, even though the son was also an atheist, he was buried in the Catholic tradition.
That's right.
And I actually recently went to a funeral for someone who didn't believe in God. And again, I was sitting there in this Catholic church as they went on, and I was getting angrier and angrier, and I kept on saying, but she didn't believe in God. How dare we do this and not honour a person? And that came across in the film to me, that they weren't honouring that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one of Emma's relatives had, we had a similar situation there. it was never explicit that he was an atheist, but it just never felt that religion was that big a part of his life. And so it just didn't ring true when would a Christian funeral. It was a very nice funeral, but like you said, it just didn't feel entirely him, and it was a little bit odd and awkward.
A little bit inappropriate almost.
Yeah. I mean, I remember as well, there's I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Creation. It's about the life of Charles Darwin, but I mean, he ended up becoming an atheist. He wrote a letter to his wife at some point explaining how he entirely lost his faith, but when he finally died, of course, it was full Catholic honors at his ceremony. It's something that we tend to do, I think, is attach, ceremony is still important. People still want to have, even if I guess the religion's not a big part of their lives, people still really want to have ceremonies around certain moments. Mm. And it was certainly, and in the case of Emma's relative, he specifically requested that he wanted that kind of ceremony, even though he didn't seem to be that kind of person. So yeah, it's odd.
We're talking to Craig Foster. You're on Spirit Lounge, and we'll be back with more questions about Parrot just in a minute.
Joy 94.9.
This is the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Puff, and we're talking to Craig Foster about his latest movie called Parrot. Now, Craig, does Parrot have any appeal to the believers?
It was certainly my intention for it to have appeal to believers, and I think we may have been successful because we recently got accepted into the New York Faith Film Festival, which is really cool.
But that's great.
It was definitely a goal. We made the film for it to be as accessible as possible to people of all walks of life. We didn't want it to be a religion-bashing film or anything like that. So, yeah, like we... and for what it's worth, we've had quite a fair few religious people come back and say, look, that was really cool.
Can I say, as a minister, I find it, I loved it, absolutely. I found it challenging, I found it really interesting, and yes.
Excellent.
I can say, yes, I think it appeals to...
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I was talking before about the idea of making atheists be a more accepted part of the community and people understanding atheists and atheism. And if you make a film that doesn't reach believers, and you're never going to achieve that. So yeah, it was really important to us to have a really balanced film that anyone could enjoy. Actually, one of my relatives when they saw the film, she's quite Catholic, and she related to the film quite deeply, but for different reasons. She her son converted away from Catholicism, but not to atheism. He became a Buddhist, and so she related to it deeply on that level, even though it wasn't quite the same story.
In the film, there is one section where you kind of compare being gay to being an atheist, and I wasn't sure why did you choose that kind of metaphor, and is there any kind of big meaning there that you wanted to get across?
Look, I think there's a huge amount of similarities. I mean, like Richard Dawkins currently has a website called Out Campaign, and it encourages atheists around the world to come out, be open, be proud, not to hide, not to shut up about it, just to be openly atheist and be happy about it. And I think that's really similar to what's happened in the homosexual community over the years, and what's gained them a lot of progress. So I thought there was a big similarity. Not only from that perspective, but also just from the perspective of the plight of Todd. His he has this lifestyle that his parents obviously have an issue with, that he's keeping away from them. So it's a very similar kind of issue, and I think that's a good way. It's always a good way to have people come in and understand if you compare it to something else that they may be familiar with.
Now the film is sponsored by the Atheist Foundation of Australia. Did they have any influence over the making of the film or the idea in the film at all?
None whatsoever. they've been incredibly supportive the whole way. What happened was we wrote the script, and in the that long part of a film's pre-production where you're trying to find out where you're going to get your money from, we thought it would be a good idea to approach them, and so we shot them through a version of the script, and they liked it, and they gave us a little bit of money to help with production funding. But aside from that, aside from supporting us, they had absolutely no influence over the story or anything like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what reaction did you get when it premiered at the Atheist Convention, which was here in Melbourne?
Look, it was really, really good. I think that people didn't really know what to expect. I think everyone goes there to see your big speakers like your Richard Dawkinses and your Sam Harrises and stuff like that. And when a film was there, I think a lot of them didn't even expect to see a film. So it took everyone a little bit by surprise. But look, the reception was really, really warm. We had a look at the Twitter feed afterwards, and it was incredibly positive. Mm-hmm. And we did a bit of a Q&A afterwards, and everyone was really, really supportive. So yeah, look, it was fantastic. And that whole event was a really positive, wonderful experience. I had so much fun. Really, really good weekend that was.
Hmm. Now, we have to say congratulations because you won an award at the San Francisco Atheist Film Festival.
That award's actually flying home at the moment from San Francisco with one of my friends. I can't wait to see it. It's like this gold placard that was custom made by one of the associates of the guys that run this festival. It's really exciting.
But so, you didn't get to go and pick it up?
Yeah, I would have loved to have flown to San Francisco to accept the award in person, but we couldn't afford it.
Oh, no.
Oh, what a shame. Yeah. So what, you accepted it by satellite, did you?
Yeah, we filmed an acceptance video, and one of my friends lives in San Francisco, so he actually accepted the award on our behalf as well.
So you got Best Short Film, did you?
That's right.
Brilliant. And I know you're cracking on with New York and Toronto and places like that. So you must be really chuffed that the Americans have responded the way they have. Is that a surprise or...?
Not really. I suppose we always... knew we were going to target America. Obviously, we were discussing before about the importance of this issue in the United States. We really didn't know how it was going to go. We just put it out to a bunch of places. I mean, the San Francisco Atheist Film Festival, I was kind of expecting to get into that one. I was sort of expecting to have some success there because obviously that was very much our target audience. But yeah, we also looking at all the various festivals and stuff in the States, and we looked at all the ones that were religion-based and faith-based, and we started submitting to them with no idea what kind of response we were going to get. We were very, very happy when they were responding positively as well.
That's right.
So if people want to see the film, how do they do it?
It's actually really, really easy. After we premiered at the Atheist Convention, we launched online. So if you want to see the film, you can head on over to www.parrotshortfilm.com, and there's a Vimeo there, and if you really, really like the film, there's also a PayPal donate button if you'd like to give us a little bit of financial help.
And can I just say, I think that it's really worth your people having a look at that.
Yeah, it is.
That
and
film.
I watched it too, and it's really good. Well, what did I say to you earlier when we were chatting? I said it was like I wanted more.
Yes. It does close on an unfinished note. That's very intentional. But yeah, look, it's like I was saying before, one of the greatest compliments I receive for the film is people get to the end and they say, like, I really want to know more about what happens to this family, which shows people are investing in the characters and their journeys.
Yeah, no, very much. It's very compelling. And so what's next? What projects are you working on now?
So Myrtle Street Pictures, which is the production company I run with my wife, we're currently finishing off a lesbian drama called Milk and Vodka.
Mm.
That was directed by the wonderful Tanette Stanford, and that's approaching completion now. We're also in the process of raising money for our next couple of short films. I'm working on one that's like a period bush comedy. It's an adaptation of a Henry Lawson short story. And I'm also working on like an action film about an abduction. So going into entirely different subject material from Parrot for sure. But yeah, it's exciting. We're back in that mode of developing and trying to find funds to do the next one.
Fantastic. Well, Craig, it's been an absolute delight having you in the studio. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And if our listeners want to watch it, it's parrotshortfilm.com.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. That track there was from All Saints, Pure Shores. That one takes me back.
Yeah, you said takes you back to school, which suddenly made me feel very, very old.
I love that song. I love that song.
Well, I'm glad
amazing.
You approve.
It's great. I was singing along, you know.
Oh, you were not. We wouldn't have to leave the studio.
We do have a very special guest joining us on the phone, if I might press on.
He's probably hung up by now.
Andy Calder, who works for Disability Inclusion as part of the Uniting Church of Australia Synod of Victoria and Tasmania. He's organising a multi-faith and disability speaker series, and he's joining us on the phone now. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, Andy.
Hi there. How are you?
Going really well. Now, I've heard of multi-faith forums and disability forums, but I've never really heard of the two being mixed together. What does a multi-faith and disability forum or speaker series really look like?
Yeah, look, thanks for the opportunity to come and speak about it tonight. This speaker series is an initiative of the Uniting Church, and it's designed to provoke and encourage dialogue and response within faith communities to the issue and the question of why there aren't more people with disabilities participating in faith communities across Victoria. So with the backing of quite a lineup of organisations such as the Jewish Christian Muslim Association, Faith Communities Council of Victoria, VCOS, which is the Victorian Council of Social Service, they're supporting this as well. The Victorian Council of Churches, and we've got some money from the government as well. So all of those organisations are interested in this, if you like. It's almost a last frontier for people with disabilities who sometimes say it's easier to get into a bar down in King Street than it is into a place of worship. So when you hear things like that, we've got to kind of sit up and take stock of it. And so this speaker series is an attempt to provoke such conversations, and it's in response to the question, what will it take to welcome people with disabilities? And the first in the series is being held next Monday.
Well, that sounds amazing. Andy, it's Bertie here. How are you?
Hi, Bertie. Good.
Now, I was looking at your very impressive list of panellists, mm-hmm. and your keynote speaker especially is a professor from my old university in Aberdeen in the northeast of Scotland.
There you go. You'll have to come along and say hello.
How wonderful. tell us more about these people and how you've pulled them together.
Sure. Well, the speaker you're referring to is Professor John Swinton, who's very widely written in this field of spirituality and disability, and he's here for another conference in Canberra, and we've been able to nab him and bring him down to Melbourne for 2 days, and so he'll be our keynote speaker on Monday. The other panellists will be... we've just had to find somebody else who's speaking from the perspective of somebody with a disability, but I've got another replacement person lined up for that. We've got somebody who's speaking on behalf of parents and siblings, and also the fourth panellist will be the General Secretary of the Victorian Council of Churches. This speaker series is being organised in a way that each distinct faith community takes responsibility for the shape of its particular panel and its workshop. This one is specifically Christian-focused, the first one in the series, on account of John Swinton being available to us at quite short notice. So as details of the other panels and forums come to greater detail, and we can make those be known more widely. But this is the first one next Monday. But in saying that it's a Christian focus, it is completely open and inclusive of anybody who would like to come along and be a part of and listen to the forum.
So throughout the forum and the series of speaking events, what's the big picture? What do we hope to achieve? What change do you hope to see because of this speaker series?
Yeah. Look, people with disabilities are underrepresented within faith communities. The figure of 20% is often used to suggest that is the percentage of the population who have disability of some sort, be it physical, intellectual, sensory. And those figures are not represented within faith communities. And so we're wanting to unpack and understand why that is the case and what is it that faith communities can do differently, be more welcoming in certain ways, and to ask the question of people who've been affected, what is it that needs to change? So that's the driver for the event.
And did you think on the back of the Paralympics, which was quite amazing, the reaction by people to it, just in London but also here in Australia, that you will get more interest in something like this?
Look, we'd like to think so. Certainly it's had a particularly high profile through the Games, as you say, recently. I think faith communities are a particular part of the spectrum of spirituality, and many people, all of us, who acknowledge that there is some dimension of spirit, seek to find ways to give expression to that and to find connections with other people. And faith communities, religious communities, are one form of that expression, but a significant part of it. So I'd hope that there is an increased awareness through the recent Games, and that people would be wanting to further conversation, particularly in regard to multi-faith issues and disability.
That's great, Andy. So where and when is the multi-faith and disability event happening?
Yeah, the one next Monday is at the Uniting Church Centre. It's 130 Little Collins Street, Melbourne. It's an accessible venue. It's being held between 2 o'clock and 5 in the afternoon. I'd hasten to add that we're getting close to the RSVP date, so if people would like to come, please let us know in the next couple of days, and I can give you the contact number for that. It's 9251 5257, and it's Elise that you would be speaking to.
All right, thank you very much for joining us on the Spirit Lounge, Andy. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much for
and
having me.
We look forward to hearing more about the rest of the speaker series as it develops.
Terrific, thank you.
Joy 94.9.
And that was the wonderful Adele. I think we're all into Adele this month. And that was Set Fire to the Rain, one of our favourite.
How long before she has a baby?
Well, I don't know that, but I've got some news.
On Adele?
On Adele, not the baby. She is singing the new theme tune. I went all American there. To the new James Bond movie.
Oh.
And it's released. I heard it today. It's good.
Okay.
Starts off kind of shaky. I sound like a judge on The X Factor, don't I?
Yes.
Starts off shaky, but gets really, really, really good.
Well, that is great.
So I don't know whether she was singing pregnant or post-pregnancy.
You can't tell?
No, I couldn't tell on the radio.
It doesn't sort of... She didn't record half before and half after. And that's a point where we know.
Now, I think we need to discuss this topic.
We do.
Because if I was a gay lady in Malaysia, I think I would be extremely upset. But we have to see the funny side of this article as well.
Yes, we do. Really.
Now, talking of seminars, the Malaysian government has just introduced a series of seminars to help teachers and parents identify signs of homosexuality in children and to take preventative measures early. These gay spotting guidelines were launched this week during a seminar in Penang. It's been reported by the news agency Free Malaysia Today. And it is totally and utterly outrageous. It's got the LGBTI community whipped them into a frenzy over in Malaysia. But looking at the funny side of this, just for a minute, because I know this is a serious topic, but the guidelines they've actually printed.
I know, and they're wonderful.
Mm. Which one? Should we start with the boys or the girls?
The boys.
Should we start with the boys?
Yes.
So this is guidelines list 4 symptoms each of gays and lesbians. Symptoms of gays. Have a muscular body and like to show their body by wearing V-neck and sleeveless clothes.
Oh, well, Andrew's missed out. Well, he's got the V-neck, but it's not sleeveless. And I'm not going to talk about the muscular body.
No, I'm fairly comfortable with the fact that I am not the most muscly person I know.
So, Mr. P, out of those 3 possible revealing facts, you only meet one of the criteria. So you're only a third gay at this point.
One of the criteria. I'm not quite sure if my friends would agree with you that I'm only a third gay.
And then prefer tight and light coloured clothes.
Well, I see, this is one that I get a bit hung up on because I do have a lot of black clothes as well, but I might just put that down to the fact that I live in Melbourne.
Is that right?
We are very monochromatic.
I think he meets the next one, though, attracted to men.
That one's kind of funny in that I think it's not so much a symptom of being gay, but that's the definition of being gay.
Yeah, but they don't quite get that.
But this last one is
gorgeous.
Like to bring big handbags similar to those used by women when hanging out.
What's hanging out and where?
So, would you count my backpack?
Have you got a big one, darling?
I've got a backpack.
I mean handbag.
It's not a handbag, though. No.
Now, I like the symptom of being lesbians.
Symptom of lesbians. There are four. Go for it then, Priestie.
Attracted to women.
No,
besides their female companions, they will distance themselves from other women. Now, read the next one.
Like to hang out, have meals and sleep in the company of women.
So, isn't that a bit of a contradiction?
I think what it's trying to say, but how you can tell by looking at people, this is, bearing in mind, this is about kids in school, right?
Yes.
So they're gay spotting these kids while they're at school. How you can tell then? So they're attracted to women, but besides their female companions, they will distance themselves from other women. So they're obviously only going to hang out with lesbians, but that's if everyone's got a little sign on their forehead saying lesbian. And they have no affection for men.
Oh, no.
Shame.
The thing that I find so frustrating, I think frustrating is the right word, about this particular news story is that at school I was always one of those kids that people would be like, oh, yeah, you're gay because you don't have, like, I didn't have very hairy legs when I was growing up in high school.
Oh. And Joy and, got your hairy legs.
No. And honestly, really, I got picked on for it and I got bullied for it. And that, out of that came, oh, well, you must be gay.
Mm.
And at that point in time, I didn't want to own that label.
Mm.
I'm perfectly fine owning that label now because it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point in time, if this document was around at my school, it would have made life really bad for me.
Well, I mean, you've just touched on bullying. You know, LGBTI rights in Malaysia have long been a contentious issue. The Ministry of Education is now officially a bully, according to the press. And this is exactly what they're doing. They're making this situation 1,000 times worse than it needs to be. There's an activist called Panky Taik, and he said the ministry must stop this inhuman campaign against vulnerable children. It should teach all children to be confident and to respect each other no matter who they are. And I think that is actually a really good sentence. Because, you know, sodomy remains a crime in the Islamic countries, and it's punishable. I mean, people go to prison for like years and years and years. So, you know, if you're Malay or if you live in Malaysia, if you know anything about this, you know, do feel free to give us a call. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS number, 1300 Joy 949 phone, or email us on air at joy.org.au if you have anything you'd like to contribute to Malaysia's latest catastrophe on the LGBTI community.
We might take a break there from such a heavy topic. we've got a track coming up by James Morrison, I Won't Let You Go.
Okay, and take your V-neck off, darling.
Joy 94.9.
And that's Spirit Lounge for another week. Stay tuned for catching up and don't forget to tune in next week, same time, 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And it's goodbye from the priest.
And the pom.
And the poof.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.